Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Monday, January 8th here on Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, so you can check those out on those special mornings, but you should swing on over to sportstimeradio.com anyways, just to see what's going on. Of course, while you are over there, you can hit that link and get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, Dan and I would greatly appreciate that. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are also on Twitter as well, so you can hunt us down there too. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man, which
all right, Dan, so we had our first weekend of NFL playoff football that I know we were all very excited about. Pick-wise, you had a bit of a tough time. You ended up going 1-3, but it didn't put you in much of a hole as the rest of us were just 2-2. So while you did start off on a bad note there, you're nowhere close to being out of the running. So we shall see how that goes. If I could have gotten a Carolina win, I would have been okay, because I was the only one of us who actually went with Atlanta. So if I could have snuck that Carolina win in there, I'd have been looking really good. But, you know, Cam Newton couldn't pull it out, and, you know, just one of those things that happened. So how much as you can tell, I'm getting better. How much football did you get to watch over the weekend, and what excited you about it?
Mariota's touchdown.
Yeah, that was probably the best play of the weekend, wasn't it?
Yeah, that and watching the Chiefs just completely fall apart was amazing.
I don't even know how to describe that. You're up, 18 points, at one point, and you just completely fall apart. I don't understand, how that ends up happening to a team that, it actually looked like they were kind of back on track, down the stretch there. They looked like they were the Chiefs from the start of the season, and I thought they had a chance to really make some playoff noise, and the only noise they had was them, the toilet flushing on them after another just ridiculously bad, Andy Reid playoff outing. So I don't know. I mean, just add it to his list of, non-accomplishments. I mean, he did get the one Super Bowl with the Eagles, but remember, they did lose that. So, I don't know. It just doesn't kind of seem like, while he seems to be a really good regular season coach, there's just not a, when it comes playoff time, I don't know what happened to him.
No, and I mean, I really thought going into it, they were, with the lead they had, and that they were going to be going up against the Patriots, and we would see a rematch of opening day.
Yeah, boy, it sure looked like that. I thought, man, these guys are rolling, and, they're gonna put this game away. I mean, Tennessee's not a offensive juggernaut by any means, you know, it's not something that's really in their makeup. And, you know, for them to come down, you know, come back from being 18 points down was just, you know, amazing for them. There's no really other way to describe it. It was just like, holy crap. But, I was joking with, I talked to Mr. Fantasy Saturday night after some of the games, and I was joking with him about the fact that my fat guy running back strategy finally worked that I went with in fantasy football, except it worked in the playoffs and I don't get any credit for it. Derrick Henry was just a beast.
Well, and didn't you point that out or mention how, I don't want to say predict, but you just kind of threw it out there and they turned it around with him.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I say so much, I kind of forget what I... You know, I figure if I throw enough out there, I'm going to get something right. So I don't know if I can take credit for it, but I will. I appreciate that. But, yeah, I was wondering how much of, you know, I guess technically they are your Jaguars did you get to watch? And, you know, boy, I know they won, but do you have any confidence in their ability to win another game?
I pretty much watched the first half, and then I had some running around to do. But I, you know, it was pretty boring actually. Because what was it, tied at three going into the half?
I think it was. I was trying to stay awake during the game. it was a rough. It was a rough one to watch. You know, and it's weird because, you know, everything I keep hearing is, you know, it's Blake Bortles' fault. Everything is Blake Bortles' fault. So I just don't, I just don't know what they're, what they're going to get next round or how that's going to kind of go. But, their defense obviously is fantastic and it can win them games. So, you never know. I mean, they could pitch a shutout next week and win 3-0.
Jacksonville against Pittsburgh, Patriots and Titans.
Are we doing that rematch again? Let me double check to make sure we got it right. Yeah, it is. That's this week's schedule. That ain't going to do me any good. Good Lord. Why would they not update the schedule already here, Dan? That's just not right. As we go into the division round, as all the rounds have names. Yeah, we get that's the first game on Sunday. We get Jacksonville at Pittsburgh. And if you remember earlier this year, they played this exact game in London. And Jacksonville annihilated the Steelers. I believe it was like a 20-7 game. It might have even been worse than that. I mean, Jacksonville really took it to them. And I think that was kind of the game that put Jacksonville on the map for everybody. Oh, it was actually 30-9 they beat them. So, obviously Antonio Brown is practicing, so that's going to help Pittsburgh. You know, they'll have their big three, but yeah, I think it's going to be a big tough game there for them. I'm not sure how I'm going with that one. That's going to be one of those games I'll have to think about. So, you know, cause like you look at some of the games, I mean, we start off next Saturday, we get Atlanta's at Philadelphia. Then the nightcap there is Tennessee at New England. Then Sunday we kick off, like I mentioned, it'll be Jacksonville at Pittsburgh. And the early afternoon game or early evening game is New Orleans at Minnesota. So, you know, we'll see. Now, I heard a lot of people on the New Orleans bandwagon, Dan, and there's already guys out there saying, hey, they're going to beat Minnesota next week. Did you see enough of that game or enough of New Orleans to kind of buy that on that bandwagon there? I mean, I know obviously you're a Viking guy. You got a new hat and gloves, that I'm waiting to see on Twitter when they finally show up at your house. But, I just wonder, did you see enough out of the Saints yesterday against Carolina to really think they'll roll into Minnesota? And, I mean, obviously we don't have to pick games yet, but, Do you see enough that they could give the Vikings a game? I think Minnesota beat them earlier in the season as well. So we got another rematch, but I think Sam Bradford was the quarterback then.
Yeah, I mean, I think they'll give them a solid game, but I just think the fact that, they had to go back to the old school and take Cam Newton out, that kind of helped secure their win. And then, you know, they kind of made Greg Olsen was more or less ineffective. So, you know, one of his bigger targets wasn't really in it, I guess you would say.
Yeah, you know, I really thought Carolina would win that game yesterday. I thought they would play better, but, you look at that team, and, I mean, you know, they grabbed Christian McCaffrey with their first-round pick, and I'm starting to wonder if that was a mistake. Because while he is helpful in the passing game, he's nothing in the NFL running game. You know, while he was good in college, obviously it's a step up, a different level. He showed nothing as an NFL running back this season or yesterday. And, you know, I mean, again, it's just another situation. You look at that team and all you can think is, man, why in the hell can't they get Cam some help? You know, it's like, good Lord, you know, the offensive line was porous. You know, we saw him get lit up there really late. I was a little surprised they didn't call helmet to helmet on that. I thought maybe he would get the call there. But then again, it's Cam Newton, and he doesn't really get calls. And late in the game like that, I know the refs don't like to throw flags. I was just like, good Lord, man, somebody help this guy. And, I mean, they've got nothing. You know, I mean, where they are is completely placed on how well Cam Newton did this season and their defense. I mean, people should be talking about Cam as an MVP candidate again with the fact that this team even got into the playoffs. But, you know, I don't know. I guess maybe that's just me. You know, and unlike Mr. Fantasy, I haven't been a Cam hater all these years. So...
I mean, I'm not either, but I don't know. You know, after that Super Bowl loss, he hasn't really seemed that hot anymore.
Yeah, you know, I mean, obviously he still needs to work on his press conferences, but, you know, I care more about what he does on the field than how he talks to the media. So, you know, stuff like that doesn't bother me at all.
No, and that's not even what I mean. I just play. You know, it just seems like it's gone from the complete top, and he just hasn't came back to that level.
Yeah, well, a lot of that has to do with the fact that he just has no help. You know, I mean, how many times did you see him get a ball on a snap yesterday, and the defense was right there already? You know, it's like, man, they just snapped in the ball. How'd that guy get there that fast? So, you know, but all right, well, I got to bring it up here, Dan, because I know if Mr. Fantasy is listening, he's probably pulling out what little Harry has left now. Oh, as you can tell, I'm getting better because, you know, I'm sure he would have wanted us to open the show with this and make it, you know, big time breaking news. But the Bears hired a coach. I know we're all excited to find out that they went with Kansas City Chiefs offensive coordinator Matt Nagy, or Nagy, depending on how you're pronouncing it. You know, this is kind of a typical Bears hire, Dan. You know, he has no head coaching experience. He's 39. He's been with Andy Reid for 10 years. So, you know, we'll see how he goes. But what I found interesting, Dan, is they hired a coach who, until late in the season, didn't even call the offensive plays for his team. Andy Reid did all that. So I don't really know, and honestly, what they're getting here. So,
you know, and I know it's hard to make the comparison from the NFL to NBA, but he almost like a Luke Walton.
Boy, I don't even know if he's that. You know, I mean, at least Walton got a little bench time. You know, and kind of got to be front and center. He may be a step below that. You know, just, you know, looking at his resume here, he started back in the, you know, 08 as an Eagles intern. 2010, they promoted him to a coach's assistant. 2011, he got to be their quality control coach. Then when Andy Reid moved to Kansas City in 2013, Nagy came over as the quarterback's coach. 2016, he was co-offensive coordinator. And then this last year, he was offensive coordinator. But again, I don't know really what offensive coordinator means in that system, because Reid called the plays up until that five-game losing streak the Chiefs had. So I don't know. You know, I mean, obviously he's being brought in here to develop Mitchell Trubisky. That's his number one job. But I just don't know, you know, enough about him to know if this was a good choice or really how he's gonna set up an offense. I mean, I'm assuming we're gonna run what Kansas City does, so we're gonna see a lot of short dump off passes and stuff like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but here's a little about him, Dan, in case you don't know. He played six seasons in the Arena Football League for four different teams. He threw for just about 19,000 yards, 374 touchdowns, and 55 interceptions. You know, I mentioned to you that he's only been with Andy Reid. He went to college in Delaware, where he played with the Chiefs general manager. So that probably also helped him out there. Now, they do say he was the primary play caller for last season, but I don't buy that. I think we all know better on how that went out, and Andy Reid actually announced about giving up play calling duties. And then I guess they came up with five facts, Dan, but they were stretching for the last one because all they could come up with was that he was a native of Lancaster, Pennsylvania. He's married to a woman named Stacy, and they have four sons. So I guess they didn't have a ton to go on there at the end, and they just kind of threw in something personal to wrap it up. But, yeah, that's what the Bears are getting. I didn't see contract terms or anything, so I don't know if or how they're going about any of that, you know, what he got to come along, but – you know, there it is, 39-year-old Matt Nagy, and he's the guy. I don't know. Have you heard anything? Are people excited about this?
I didn't really listen this morning. You said he played in the Arena Football League?
Yes. So, yeah, six seasons in the Arena League with four different teams.
So does that mean Johnny Manziel will be the Bears coach in about 15, 20 years?
Well, you know, that is quite possible. You know, there was actually Johnny Manziel news today. I heard that the team in Canada can only offer him $54,000 to play with them. So we'll have to see how it goes. But here you go, Dan. I found some Matt Nagy stats. He played with the New York Dragons in 2002. He didn't play in 2003, but then he went to the Carolina Cobras. After that, he spent 2 years with the Georgia Force. And then he wrapped up his career with the Columbus team, but they actually don't have Columbus's nickname in here. So that's here they are. They are the Columbus Destroyers. He did get to the championship while he was with Columbus, but they lost to the San Jose SaberCats. So, that's where he played his, I guess technically that is professional football, you know, the American, you know, the Arena League. So, you know, solid, nice little six-year career there before he got into coaching, and you know, we'll see. But yeah, like I said, you know, he's a guy. I haven't heard much about it yet. You know, I'm trying to remember when the announcement was made, but I didn't see much about it or hear much about it, so I don't know how the you know, the Chicago media is taking it or reacting to it. So we'll, you know, we'll have to see, but you know, he's the guy. That's where we're going. Can't change it now, right?
So basically, he's a quarterback coach.
Yes. You know, and I mean, I think we knew. I mean, you kind of figured they were going that way, right? They were looking for somebody to bring in to help Mitchell Trubisky.
Mm-hmm.
So
that someone else could take the blame if it doesn't work out.
Yeah. You know, and I mean, again, it's one of those things where, you know, it's hard for me to be confident in this because, you know, these are the same guys that hired John Fox. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, again, nothing against Fox. I mean, he did what he could do with the talent he had. But I just don't know, you know, how confident I am with this. I mean, I would love to come on and say, oh, yeah, you know, he's gonna turn Trubisky into the next Carson Wentz or, you know, those kind of things. But I don't know. Yeah, I kind of, you know, kind of, oh, like I said, I'm glad I'm getting better. And, but yeah, you know, Dan, we started with six openings. The Raiders filled theirs. The Bears filled theirs. So we're down to four. You know, if you could be the Giants, Cardinals, who the hell else is open? Colts or Lions head coach, who would you be?
Go through that again. Cardinals, Lions.
Giants, Cardinals, Lions, and I did this again, Colts.
Well, I guess I'll go by weather. So I'm going to go to Phoenix.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. You look at the teams. I mean, obviously, if you go to the Giants, you got Eli Manning. You know, the Lions may have the best situation with Matthew Stafford in that offense if you could build a running game. You know, if Andrew Luck is healthy, the Colts isn't a terrible job, but that's a big if you're hanging on. And, you know, I think the Cardinals have some work to do. You know, they were the oldest team average-wise in the league, and Carson Palmer just retired. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what route they go and how they try to you know, kind of get that going, because they're in a real tough division. You know, the Rams look like they're set up to be good for a long time. The 49ers with Garoppolo, you know, all of a sudden found some magic. You know, I'm always going to think the Seahawks are going to be good. So it's an interesting fit there with them to kind of figure out how they're going to go and what they're going to do. But you know, we'll see. You know, obviously, I haven't heard many rumors about who the other teams are looking at or which way they might go. So,
I mean, if I'm a coach, I'm looking at getting a 4-year contract and at least getting paid for two of them.
Yeah. Well, you know, you got to figure, and I wonder how sometimes these, you know, do you wonder, Dan, how these teams look at? I mean, if you're the Cardinals GM, you know, you've got to understand, while you do have David Johnson and Larry Fitzgerald, your team really isn't set up to win. Do you kind of understand that when you hire a coach and you give him a little leeway that first year or two? Or do you just kind of hardball him? If he doesn't win in 2 years, you send him packing?
Well, I mean, isn't that kind of the confusing thing with what the Bears did?
Well, you know, they did give Fox 3 years, so.
Yeah, but I mean, the team really wasn't designed to win, per se.
Well, no, they did, and they didn't. but yeah, you know, like, we knew that they were going to be bad year one. You know, they showed some flashes of improvement year two. I know everybody was excited. But this year, I really think they regressed, and that's why he had to go. So, you know, I don't know. Yeah, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, you've got the rookie quarterback, but I don't think they did a fantastic job of developing him. You know, they really didn't take the chains off, and they babysat him quite a bit. And, you know, I don't know if they didn't want to hurt his feelings or, you know, his confidence or however you look at it, but I don't think they did much for the guy.
No, well, and the other thing is, if you think they're addressed, I mean, to quote half of Chicago, and I think the Bears themselves, their best player was an offensive lineman who played one position his whole life. They switched him over, and then he got hurt. He continues to get hurt. You know, and then their other number one pick was Kevin White, who's never played.
Yes.
So, you know, and then
another
they got experience. You know, in the offseason, they cut the guy before he even plays, when he actually played pretty well with Trubisky in preseason. So I don't really know what the hell they did or their plan or what they were trying to do.
Yeah, you know, I think you're in that group with a lot of people. You know, there's just not a lot of people who knew or know, you know, what they were doing or what the idea was. So, we'll see. I mean, obviously we got to kind of figure out where the heck they're going and, you know, how that worked out. But, you know, Dan, I saw the oddest story. I don't know if you caught any of this over the weekend, but luckily this reporter was found safe. There was a reporter by the name of Courtney Rowland, and I want to make sure I get who she works for correctly here. They describe her as a sports journalist. I know she was doing something for a website. Come on. Give me a little more in-depth reporting
in
here. Yeah, down in Houston. And then I guess she just kind of, here it is. She works for Rivals, which is a Yahoo-owned online publication focusing on college sports. Yeah, and I guess they just kind of lost contact with her, you know, over the weekend. I believe it might have been Friday night or possibly Saturday night. And nobody could find her. She was just gone. So, you know, obviously they sent out, you know, missing persons reports and stuff and, you know, all the things you have to do. And luckily they found her this morning in a parking lot at a Chick-fil-A of all places. I guess apparently she had some kind of medication issue. They don't go into what medication she was taking. But, yeah, it was a little weird because I know, like, one of the last texts they reported she sent said she was concerned because she thought a suspicious man was following her. I believe this was actually after she picked up some medication at a Walgreens. But, yeah, luckily, yeah, they say here they found her Monday morning walking under Interstate 610 overpass in West Houston. So, but, yeah, just the strangest story, you know, and again, luckily, like I said, she was, you know, she was found okay, but I didn't hear much about this over the weekend. Did you hear or see anything about this while it was going on?
No, I seen it up on Beam this morning, but when I went to go read it, something else came up and I just totally skipped over it. Maybe she's at MK Ultra and she doesn't even know.
It's possible, you know, do you think she was abducted by aliens, Dan? Is that what really happened?
No, the alien story is, I've watched enough of it over the last 10 years to know that that's a good story for the government to help cover up what they're doing.
So, but yeah, I just wanted to throw that out there real quick. But luckily she was found safe.
Yeah.
So, you know, I know there's a whole bunch of, you know, wonderful negatives and stuff that go on with that, but luckily this one had a happy ending. But yeah, I was afraid I would forget about that, so I wanted to drop it in. I did want to run this one by you. This was one I didn't hear much of over the weekend, but apparently, your Chicago Cubs, I offered Alex Cobb a 3-year, $42 million deal, which, of course, he turned down. But, you know, they appear to be negotiating there. Are you excited about this, or what do you think, you know, the situation with this is?
You know, honestly, with Alex Cobb, he's one of those guys that has flown under my radar, so I really don't know anything about him. I've never really seen him pitch. But I don't know how exciting of a deal that is. You know, I'd rather, if it were me, you know, the super fans are going to tell you they'd rather sign a guy than trade for a guy. But, you know, I'd rather see Chris Archer on the team. But you and I have discussed this before with Joe Mannin. If he was wanted on this team, I think it would have happened at least 2 years ago. So I don't really know. I mean, it's a lot cheaper than Jake Arrieta's deal, right? 3 years, $42 million.
He turned it down. So it, you know, he wants more money.
Because what is that, right under $15 million? You know, what is that, like 13.5 or something?
Yeah, I think it works out to 12 million a year or 14 million a year, one of the two. But, you know, he was, you know, he's looking for 20 million a season. And then, you know, you and I reported last week, we had sources that said he lowered his demand, said he would take a 4-year, $70 million deal as long as all the money was guaranteed.
Yeah, I mean, I would guarantee it if he hit markers.
Yeah. So,
you know, I mean, I don't know if you looked into if he's a Boris guy or not, but I think that's part of the reason we haven't seen as much movement. I think teams are actually getting wise to it and throwing the offers out there, but I don't think they're going to break their banks on something that's the performance isn't guaranteed.
So, yeah, I mean, it was, you know, it's an interesting offer, and I guess it's probably a starting point. It would be kind of the way you look at it. So I'll be interested to see if they continue to negotiate, because obviously, you know, Cobb was in Tampa Bay with Joe Maddon and now with Kevin Hickey. So, it could be a good fit for him. You know, obviously, it's guys who are familiar with them.
I mean, you know, like you said, it was $14 million a year. He's looking for 17.5 at 4 years, all guaranteed. It's definitely a starting point. But you've got to wonder, you know, like you mentioned, working with Hickey and Maddon, I think they have a better idea of what the value is.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you would think, and I get it, you know, they were pushing it off on, you know, well, this is Cobb's one chance to get paid because, you know, he won't get another big contract again. Dan, am I mistaken, or is it difficult to make a living on $14 million a year?
Well, you know, it would be difficult if the teams per the CBA weren't contracted to pay for literally all their amenities when it comes to travel and spring training the whole night. So, you know, if that were the case, then I, you know, hey, Big Jack, you know, when it comes to tax time, there's a lot of, you know, work expenses that aren't given back to them. I lost the word right there, but, you know, they don't pay for anything. So they pretty much get everything handed to them plus their salary. So, you know, if you decide to live in a $60 million mansion, but you really should be living in, you know, a $500,000 house, that's your problem.
Yeah, you know, I thought it was kind of odd. But all right, Dan, how about this one? There was a report today that the Red Sox turned down a trade offer from the Dodgers that would have involved Yasiel Puig going to Boston and Jackie Bradley Jr. coming back to the Dodgers. Now, there were no other particulars in the deal on if there were minor leaguers involved or anything like that, but what do you think about that deal that apparently just didn't happen?
Well, I mean, aren't they very similar? I think I was over Bradley.
You know, Puig had a much better season than Bradley did. Bradley really kind of scuffled. You know, he was good in 2016, but he only hit 245 last year with 17 bombs and 63 RBIs. Puig hit 263 with 28 homers, 74 RBIs, and then added 15 stolen bases. Don't forget, Puig was also really good in the postseason. You know, he hit three bombs with 10 RBIs, scored 8 runs, managed to walk 6 times, which is something, a big accomplishment for a player like Puig. I guess the key here is, you know, Puig is he's in the last year of his deal, where Bradley actually has 2 more years of arbitration, or actually 3, counting this year. So, you know, Bradley is a little better defender. You know, he's a center fielder. He's a little better defender, but obviously Puig has the better arm.
Yeah, well, I was going to say that with Puig's arm and the short right field in Boston, you know, given that he was just dominating.
Yeah, you couldn't go anywhere there. Anything to right field, you'd have to just kind of stay where you are.
You know, and give him a month to adjust to that kind of that corner. And by the summer, you wouldn't be able to do anything if Puig was in right field. So, you know, like you said, I think the contract has a lot to do with it. It would be interesting because I don't see the Dodgers re-signing him in the offseason of next year. So it would be interesting if the Dodgers were to go after him. And can you imagine having him in right with Bradley in center?
Yeah, well, you know, obviously, you know, you'd have to give up one to get the other. That would be the tough part there. But, you know, it could be, the Red Sox want a power-hitting outfielder. You know, and I know all the reports are they're waiting on J.D. Martinez. But, you know, I mean, with the short field, you know, with the Green Monster and, you know, you mentioned the short porch over and right, Puig could possibly be a 35 to 40 homer guy there, couldn't he?
Mm-hmm.
So,
get that right.
So, yeah, I just, you know, I was kind of like, oh, that's kind of, you know, kind of, that was, it was just kind of an interesting trade. You know, I mean, obviously there hasn't been much to talk about this offseason. You know, there's just not a ton going on. You know, and when that popped up, I was kind of like, oh, cool, that could be a huge deal. But I also needed to give you some advanced warning, Dan. You got to mark your calendar. On April 21st, you're going to need to make sure that you have tickets to the St. Louis Cardinals game. They're playing the Cincinnati Reds. So you should be able to get tickets. And I know you're wondering, why do you have to go to this specific Cardinal game? Dan, it's Dexter Fowler bobblehead night.
Oh, God.
You know, and I know you love a good bobblehead.
I heard they're already out sold out.
Really? Well, it's a giveaway, isn't it? I thought that they were giving them to fans.
No, I meant the game. You know, even though regular season single tickets haven't gone on sale,
it is
sold out.
I could ask my aunt. She's a big Cardinal fan. See if she can help you out. So.
Yeah, well, it's Saturday, so I guess I can try to hop on the train and get down there, right?
Oh, that's even more perfect for you, being that it's a Saturday. You know, I mean, yeah, that couldn't have worked out much better. But while we're, rolling through what are just, you know, more and more rumors of what goes on. I saw today on the MLB Network, Dan, that the Astros very much want to add another top of the rotation starter. You know, obviously they have your guy Dallas Keuchel. They added Justin Verlander. You know, they have Mr. Fantasy's guy Lance McCullers Jr. But they want to add one more guy, and apparently they have reached out to the Pirates because they want Gerrit Cole. Now, you know, you and I both know the Astros have the farm system to do this. You know, there was talk of Cole possibly going to the Yankees, but they balked on giving up Gleyber Torres. Do you see that being an issue with the Astros? I mean, they have some big-time prospects that they could throw in. Is Cole going to end up with the Astros?
I don't see it happening. I could be wrong, but I just don't see that one falling through the way they want it to.
So, you know, and I mean, you know, they are reporting that, you know, Pittsburgh would want, you know, Houston's top pitching prospect is Forrest Whitley. They would want him or outfielder Kyle Tucker as what they describe as the centerpiece to the deal. So those would be the guys the deal would have to feature. Yeah, well, it's possible. Yeah, maybe both of them could be included. But they're definitely saying they... Oh, again, I'm glad I'm getting better. You know, they definitely said they want one of them, at least one of them. But yeah, so you're not buying Cole to the Astros?
No, I mean they're still trying to talk with Yu Darvish. I could see, you know, that definitely you got to keep the talk to him. You got to keep going with it. I just don't see it happening. You know, one or the other, and I think for the Pirates, you got to get both of them. And then not only that, I mean, the Pirates already have a really solid pitching prospect who, I can't even think of his name right now. I'm sure you remember it, but he came up and, you know, he struggled coming up. So as much as, you know, pitching prospects go, I think they're harder to really hit the nail on the head with. You know, there's only been one Steven Strasburg, and he came up in, what, 2010? And, you know, we haven't really seen another pitching prospect come up like him since that time.
Yeah, but, you know, with pitching, I mean, you know, you need as much as you can get, you know, especially in today's game.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I get it. The sexy thing is to rebuild and tear your team down. But, I mean, in the long run, obviously keeping Cole doesn't help you. But in the long run with those two guys, does it really help you put yourself back in a position to compete? And if you're going to move Gerrit Cole, then you absolutely need to be in the talks of moving McCutchen and possibly Starling Marte.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely think if Cole is going to go, you know, that's got to be the start of it, right? I mean, if you're going to move your best pitcher, you got to move, you know, any of those guys, any of those veterans you can move have to go.
Mm-hmm.
So.
You know, and with the White Sox having the best system in supposedly since the Braves lost all their guys, I mean, let's be honest, the three-way trade they made landing Joaquin Soria doesn't really scream, yeah, we have a killer shutdown bullpen, but you've got to believe they're making the steps in that direction. And if you're looking to trade a guy, you know, maybe knocking on their door might be something, but I don't know if they'd be willing to look at Andrew McCutchen, but Starling Marte might be a guy they'd be willing to look at. You know, again, that's, of course, if you're going in the direction where you're moving Gerrit Cole. I mean, because you either have to compete with the Cubs and the Cardinals, or, you know, you're stuck in three. You're stuck in that number three hole. Well, maybe not even the three hole with the Brewers kind of doing their thing. You know, either you're competing with those three teams or just throw it away and kind of just hang on for dear life with the Reds.
Yeah. So, but we did have a signing today. I know you'll be excited about this one. The Giants made a signing. They decided to bring back Nick Hundley, Buster Posey's backup. So he got a Hundley's 34 now. I can't believe he's 34, but he got a 1-year, $2.5 million deal to come back as Buster's backup. So,
shoot, I take it.
You know, definitely. It's a good move. You know, he's a solid backup catcher. You know, I mean, he's really, you know, what teams need when you're looking for backup guys. So I think that's definitely a good move for them. So, but I heard what I thought was a fantastic idea today. And I was surprised that people kind of shot it down so quickly. You know, Draymond Green, obviously the forward for the Golden State Warriors. You know, he has kind of an interesting point, saying that he believes the NBA needs to totally remake over their referee crew because referees have personal relationships with players. And, you know, in a case like Green's, his relationship with these referees are bad, you know, because, you know, let's face it, honestly, he's a bit of a mouthy guy. You know, he definitely voices his opinion. And, you know, he's already racked up 11 technical fouls this year. So he's on his way to a suspension. I don't remember the number, if it's like 15 or 16, but he's on his way there. You know, Dan, I got to tell you, I really liked this idea. You know, and obviously I know they can't do it because the refs have a union and all that stuff. But I like the turnover idea of getting some new guys in where they don't have a relationship or a repertoire, you know, a working repertoire with these superstars, and they can go out and call games how they're supposed to be called. So, and, you know, and we do have to include this. I would be remiss not to tell you, Dan, that Green was fined $25,000 for these comments, by the way. So, yeah. But, I don't know. Do you like this? I mean, does that sound like a good idea to you?
I think it does. I mean, because, you know, when with my nephew being around, he's a LeBron James fan since, you know, the start, and we were watching Cavaliers-Celtics game, and he was getting so mad at some of the calls that were missed on LeBron. And I was like, dude, they're in Boston. If they were in Cleveland, he'd get the call. But they're in Boston, so he's not going to get the call. And, you know, and then of course we were just giving him crap, telling him that wasn't a foul, you know. He barely touched him. He's just doing his WWE Vince McMahon selling to, you know, help get out to try to get his foul back. But, I mean, let's be honest. We talk about that all the time. It's the truth. You know, Dwayne Wade, if you're at home, you know, wherever he is, he gets the call on that stupid, I'm at the three-point line and I'm going to jump to get you to jump, and then instead of throwing a shot off, I'm going to make sure my top half hits you so that I could shoot the ball and get a foul, knowing full well I'll miss the three. And, you know, I think that part of the game is what is just crap. I mean, if you're too old to play the game, you know, by actually playing the game, then you shouldn't be playing anymore if you're just going to rely on cheap fouls.
I just wish they would call it by the rules is all I would like to see. You know, I mean, if a guy travels, call the travel. It's no big deal. You know, go ahead and call it. You know, we all know he walked. You're not breaking any news to us. We saw the play. So you know, it's just weird. And, you know, and I mean, I'm sure a lot of it comes directly from the NBA on, hey, you know, we need to let these guys play so we can add excitement to the game. But I just get so tired of watching a guy take, you know, four steps going to the rim. It's like, wait, he walked.
Yeah. Well, no, the only time you get the travel call is if it's an up and down.
Yeah. Well, I actually did see a carry call over the weekend, but I also ran into your favorite issue while I was attempting to recover from my whatever the hell this is that I can't seem to get rid of. I was watching the Bulls game. I think they may have been playing the Wizards. And it was a tight game down the stretch. I think there were about 5 minutes to go. And I sat through, Dan, there were two reviews that took over 5 minutes. And then all the fouling at the end of the game, it actually got to the point where I turned it off because the last 2 minutes of the game, I was on my 30th minute trying to watch the last 2 minutes of the game. And I was just fed up. I had had enough. I was like, really? It's like there were – when I went back to check in, there were 2 minutes and 22 seconds because I remember just kind of laughing to myself, you know, two's wild, blah, 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 ha, ha, ha. And they were reviewing an out-of-bounds play at the time. And they reviewed it and reviewed it, and they went to commercial break, and they came back, and they were still reviewing it. Then they played a little basketball, and they had another out-of-bounds play that they had to review and review, review. And then they went to a commercial break, and they came back, and, of course, they were still reviewing it. And since it was a close game, the fouls started. And we walked up and down the court and shot free throws and called timeouts and shot free throws and called timeouts. And the next thing I know, I was looking for the remote because it was 30 minutes later, and I just needed to watch something else. I didn't care who won. I just wanted to change channel. So, you know, maybe they could fix that before they worry about anything else.
Yeah, well, I think the only way you fix that is by, you know, finding these guys $10,000 every time they do it.
Yeah.
But I don't think they have the balls to do that.
I like I said, I was just fed up. I was like, man, this is why I don't watch NBA basketball. You know, there's just nothing worth sitting through this. So, but all right, Dan, I saved this for last because I wanted to run it by you. You know that you know your guy Lagiello is playing over in Lithuania with the little brother. What's the little brother's name?
LaMelo.
Yeah. Lonzo is here. They're there. Of course, LeVar is there with them. It didn't stop LeVar from taking a shot at the Lakers. You know, he came out and said the team doesn't want to play for Luke Walton. But interestingly, what LeVar managed to pass up was the fact that Big Baller Brand was given an F rating by the Better Business Bureau.
Really?
Yes. What is the bigger news here, Dan? The fact that he won't shut up about the Lakers, even though Lonzo came out and actually said LeVar's comments weren't true, or the fact that the Better Business Bureau dropped an F on the three Bs?
Well, don't you do anything to get the attention away from you?
I don't know. I thought in this guy's case he wanted the attention on him, but maybe not this attention.
Yeah, well, I mean, it didn't stop him from doing the Big Baller Challenge in Lithuania. I don't know how that turned out, but, you know, and I didn't actually, I watched that first season on Facebook of his, you know, of their show. Just, you know, I get it, but I've had no desire to really get into the second season. And, you know, as the first season ended, he was going to purchase, you know, Big Baller Mansion. He was looking at a warehouse, but apparently he didn't have to get all his stuff from China because I'm assuming that's where the stuff was coming from. You know, I think as they say, go big or go home, but sometimes you got to use your brain a little bit bigger than your excitement. I don't know the word for it, but I don't know. You know, he's got to, I think right now he's got to learn to keep his mouth shut when it comes to his son and the Lakers, because it's the pros now. It's not, you know, college or high school. Your word doesn't hold any weight.
Yeah, do you think that, you know, he's ever going to kind of understand that the Lakers or any other NBA team are never going to care what he has to say? You know, they're, you know, he can go out and say whatever he wants, you know, like this latest comment. And the humorous thing is Luke Walton had a really, really good comeback from it. And I'm trying to remember the direct quote, but he took Lonzo out last night in the third quarter of the game. And of course, you know, that's a story immediately. So they asked him about it after the game, and Walton actually had a pretty humorous response saying, well, his dad pissed me off, so I took Lonzo out of the game. And of course, he was just joking, and he made it understand that they were just joking. But I thought that was pretty funny that, you know, Walton just sees it all as a joke.
Yeah. I mean, let's be honest, with Lonzo being young and with the apparent shoulder issue, something's not working out. I think you need to take the kid out. You know, they're not championship bound, so
yeah, you know, and then you know, in true Donald Trump fashion, LeVar's response to ESPN when they asked him about the Better Business Bureau, he said that the Better Business Bureau is as outdated as the Yellow Pages. So so yeah, he, you know, he definitely is just kind of, you know, in that area. But you know, a lot of the complaints were the fact that, you know, there are people who have ordered that still don't have their products yet. They don't have the shoes or whatever else they ordered. I know Dan Le Batard, you know, he does a daily show on the Mickey Mouse Network. He ordered and got the wrong pair of shoes. He got a pair of shoes he didn't order. So, you know, there's been a lot of issues, but, you know, it's humorous because there's no customer service number. You know, you can't call customer service on Big Baller Brand. You can email them, but they either send you a generic email or none at all. It's just kind of humorous. And I mean, in the end, I mean, this looks more and more like, it was just kind of a LeVar money-making scheme than it was anything else. You know, I mean, he cashed a lot of checks and took a lot of people's money, and I'm just wondering if, you know, is there a legal recourse for anything? Could they do anything legally as we're wrapping up here?
I don't think so yet. I mean, all intentions were to sell product.
Huh. All right. Well, Dan and I are going to go. That's what the music means. But we'll be back tomorrow at 5:30. Hopefully my cough will be even less tomorrow. You know the deal while we're gone, though. SportsTimeRadio.com. Check out what goes on over there. Link to the Facebook page. Follow that one. Give it a like. The Twitter feed, at SportsTimeRadio. Don't forget about that. You can find Dan and I on Twitter as well if you want to look it up there. As always, a big thanks for listening live. But don't forget, you can find the podcast anytime you want over at tunein.com.
SportsTimeRadio.com. I think as long as there is no intent to deceive.